As Michael's already said, this is the part of our service that we remember the death of our Lord with the Lord's Supper. And to do that, we typically spend a few moments together and putting our thoughts towards what was done there on our behalf. Maybe you've heard someone say the phrase, or you've used the phrase yourself, you know, that's ironic. It's a phrase that we hear sometimes relating to an event or a story that we come across. Ironic, or the word irony from which it derives, is one of those words that's not easy to define. If I were to ask you for a definition, you'd probably struggle with it like I did. But it's one of those things you know when you see it or when you hear about it. It's like when the fire station burns down. Well, that's ironic, isn't it? Because of all the places that would happen, you would think that the fire station would be the last place, but that has happened before. Years ago, the Consumer Product Safety Commission issued a lapel button to promote toy safety and then had to recall it because it presented a choking hazard for children. That's ironic. We know that when we see it, and it, for some reason, that grabs our attention even above normal everyday events. Well, as you turn to the pages of the Bible, God is the master of irony at times. Yeah, I think he uses that to grab our attention and to call focus to things that he wants to teach us. Again, some examples are easier to quote than to maybe describe the word. Abraham, as the father of a multitude, married to a woman who had no children. Jacob, the deceiver, who deceived his father to obtain the blessing, would himself be deceived by his own sons. That's ironic. Haman is hung on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. And as you move into the New Testament, we read where God chose the weak and the foolish to confound the strong and the wise as those that he knew would follow his word. So we understand irony even in the pages of the Bible. Well, when we come to the crucifixion this morning, there's irony even at this event. If you will, turn now to Matthew 27, and let's begin reading in verse 41, and we're going to read a few verses together. It says, in the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. You know, I can imagine a scene very easily there as these priests and scribes and elders stood nearby the cross where they've just played a part in having Jesus nailed. And they're quoting these words to him, probably with a tone of voice that we can all imagine pretty easily, in that mocking, sarcastic way that they were probably delighting in as they watched Jesus there on the cross. But the irony here is that as they spoke those words, there was truth to them that they had no idea of. Jesus did not save himself because he wanted to save others. That's the irony there. It's the same idea we find in Galatians 1:4, where we read that Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us. Or Ephesians 5:2, just as Christ loved you and gave himself for you. What these chief priests said in sarcasm was ironically true. He could not save himself and save others. He made the choice to stay there on the cross. But that's not the only note of irony we see in this passage. If you drop to verse 43, again, as they stood there saying, he trusts in God, let God rescue him now if he delights in him. I'm sure as they said those words, they felt like that this was no way that God could delight in him, because after all, they had put him on the cross as a sign that he was a fraud in their minds. And yet those words, if you remember your Old Testament, are words taken from Psalm chapter 22, verses 6 through 8, and were recognized as a messianic psalm, even by the people in Jesus' day. So as David wrote about his enemies surrounding him and saying this about him, it was being fulfilled in David's descendant, Jesus, as he hung there on the cross. So unwillingly, these priests, scribes, and elders, as they gathered at the cross, determined to put Jesus to death, were now attesting to his messiahship by quoting from a messianic psalm. This morning, we participate in memorial to the crucifixion of our Lord. We eat the bread and the fruit of the vine as memorial items to his body and blood that were shed there on that occasion. We do that to a Savior who refused to save himself so that he might save us.